Turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then Acts in the New Testament scripture. Acts chapter 1, and want us to notice to start with one verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer. But Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Here we see the words of the Lord Jesus before he goes back into heaven. And he says this in Acts 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Keep your place there. This morning I want to preach a message entitled, "Pray and Go." Let's pray. Father, I do thank you now for the power of your word. And I thank you for this great challenge that is before us as we find it in the scriptures, that the church has been given ever since the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven, that the church has the great responsibility to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church can do many things, but its main thing is to obey this command. And so challenge our hearts, help us still be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In the book of Acts, Calvary Baptist Church has been given the responsibility to reach our community with the gospel. As we learned last week, that God has equipped us to accomplish the task at hand. How has he equipped us? Well, before the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven, he said, "I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then he ended that charge by saying, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So he's given us a big responsibility. Every Bible-believing church, every Christian has been charged with responsibility to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we don't and are not to go at it alone. He said, "Lo, I am with you." He's not only given us his presence, that he has given us his power, as we noted here in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And then last week we learned that he's also given to us the power of prayer. Our focus for the month of February has been on the whole subject of prayer. And last week I challenged us from Romans chapter 10, where in that passage of scripture, Paul was saying that his heart's desire and his prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. So real was this passion, so real was this burden in his life, that he said in Romans chapter 9 that he had continual sorrow in his heart over his brethren, his kinsmen in the flesh, as he called them. He had this driving burden in his heart to see his fellow countrymen come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So what did he do? He prayed. And I shared with you last week that one of the greatest things that we can do for people without Christ is to pray for them. Someone asked me after that message last Sunday that, "Don't you think there is more that we can do than pray?" And I want you to notice the quote on the screen here. It's a very important quote, but notice what it says, that you can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. In other words, this matter of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ takes two components. It takes prayer, it takes going. One is not more important than the other. Both of them are to work in conjunction with each other. But it must start with prayer. And so we gave a heavy concentration on that last Sunday. But today I want us to notice, as we go through some passages in the book of Acts, how that there is a strong biblical link between praying and going. So notice with me, if you would, here again in Acts chapter 1. Let's begin there. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus told his disciples before he ascended back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he had said to them, I want you now to go to Jerusalem and stay there until you are endued with power from on high, until you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Then you will have the power that is necessary to accomplish the task that I am sending you forth to do. Why was this necessary for them to go to Jerusalem? Because Jesus did not want them then, or us now, to accomplish this great task of reaching the world with the gospel, reaching our community with the gospel in our own strength. Because in our own strength, we will fail. We will get discouraged. We will say, why? Why do this? Nobody wants to listen. Nobody really cares. They just seem to be going their, living their own life. And why should we invest time and energy in something that people really don't seem to be interested about? Pastor, when you share a statistic that says that less than 20% of America goes to church anywhere, why then should we care? One, we ought to care because people are in great need of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they go to church or not. Because going to church does not save anyone. You could go to this church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and come down to the end of your life and go to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ, because this church cannot save anyone. Now, we preach a message that I believe can save a soul of man, but nonetheless, it doesn't matter, if you would, that someone goes to church. It's important that they go, but church will not save. But when less than 20% of America goes to church anywhere, then we realize that there is a great need in a country that is called a Christian country. There are people across the street, next door to you. There are people that you work with. There are people that you go to school with. There are people everywhere that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And so the great responsibility then is in verse number 8, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, then they were able to go and preach the gospel. And so come to verse number 13 of chapter 1. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. So there's 120 people that are in this upper room, and what are they doing? Look at verse 14. These all continued with one accord in what? In prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So here you have a small group of people, 120 people that are gathered. They are there out of obedience to what Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, wait there until the Holy Spirit of God comes from heaven and indwells you. So in chapter 2, you see that moment happening. The Holy Spirit comes, and you see that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter then stands before a great crowd of people. You say, how do you know it was great? Because after he got done preaching, there were over 3,000 people that had gotten saved and baptized in one day. So there was a great crowd of people, but now he is being controlled by the Holy Spirit of the living God. He preaches this great message, and people cry out, what should we do? We see that we are sinners in need of a Savior. What should we do? And he tells them to repent, and they did do that, and we find that they had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and their life was forever changed. Which now leads me to chapter 2 and verse number 41. After this group had gathered to pray and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stands before them and preaches. Their life is changed. Now verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they, that is those that believed, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That means that they had continued in that which they had been taught. And fellowship, and in breaking of bread, now get this, and in prayers. Now think about this. These 3,000 people, I'm sure, prayed in their life. But now their prayer life took on a new meaning, because now they know the Father. Now they can cry out and lift their voice up to God and really pray, and because there is a connection there that God is my Heavenly Father and His Son is my Savior and the Holy Spirit of God lives within me to live out the Christian life. And so they are continuing in all of these facets. They are praying. And verse 43, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now look at down to verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But I want you to understand, church family, that where this really began was in that upper room when they were in a time of prayer and God does something great in their life. Just gives them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in their life as he does for every one of us that know Jesus as our Savior. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And so when you think about this then, you find that a great thing happened. 3,000 people, about 3,000, get saved, baptized in one day. They continue on living the Christian life and the Lord grows the church. In fact, so much did this church grow at Jerusalem back in that day. It went, if you would, from what I call 120 and then 3,000. And then you'll find, if you do the numbers, it gets upwards to about 20,000 people. In other words, in the Bible, we have examples of mega churches before there were ever mega churches. All right? I mean, it was growing big time. People were just being saved right and left. God was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. And it wasn't, if you would, because they had a great preacher by the name of Peter. Peter was a great preacher. Peter was greatly used of the Lord. He was filled by the Holy Spirit. But I would say behind Peter was the prayers of God's people. They prayed and they went and made a difference. Chapter 4. Chapter 4 of Acts, we find in verse 31 and verse 32. Now, before I read those verses, let me set something up for you. In chapter 3, you will find that Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. Well, as they are going to the temple to pray, you will find that there is a man that lame from his birth. He is taken there on a daily basis, and he, if you would, has a cup in his hand, crying out, "Alms, alms, alms." So as people are going into worship, here is this lame man crying out, "Hey, I need some money, if you would. Alms, alms, alms." Peter and John, again, preachers of the word of God, said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That man, the Bible says, did just that. He was definitely healed. And you'll find in the context that he was leaping and walking and praising God. I mean, this guy, if you would, he just had a fit. He got excited. You ever get excited? You ever get excited at a football game, basketball game, baseball game, golf? No, you sleep during golf. But anyway, getting really excited. This man, I think we would probably respond the same way. This man who hasn't been able to walk since birth, now he's walking and leaping and praising God. Now, don't you think that would attract some attention? It sure did. It attracted attention by the, quote, religious leaders of that day. They then bring in Peter and John and threaten them. "You cannot speak in the name of Jesus." Peter says, "We must obey God rather than men." He was respectful in his answer, but he was firm in his answer. And he said, we're going to just go about and we're going to continue to obey God. So again, we find in the context in Acts chapter 4, verse number 24. Start there with me if you would. Verse 23, I'm sorry. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Okay? So now, after Peter and John are released from the authority, they go to their people and say, this is what God has done. So then we find in verse number 24, it says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And so they pray in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. So they saw that Peter and John were not going to quit. They heard the report that Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. And so this church goes to prayer and says, Lord, grant your servants boldness to preach the word. So now that's the setup. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. So here we see, again, a group of people praying. And then the Holy Spirit of God fills them, controls them. Then in turn, they speak the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of people that believe were of one heart and of one soul. They prayed, they went. They prayed, they went. Look at Acts chapter 6. Appreciate your patience here, but Acts chapter 6, in this context, we won't read all the verses, but we find in the context that there is a problem going on in the church. I always kind of chuckle when people say, I want to go to church where there are no problems. I haven't found one yet. Now, I don't think you ought to live in a continual state of problems, but what I mean by that is you get a group of people like we have together here. We are sinners saved by the grace of God, and there can at times arise problems, right? So here in the early church, it's really growing. They're experiencing a lot of growth. A lot of good things are happening. People's lives are being changed. People are being baptized. It's just a great thing. But in the process of this great growth going on, there's some neglect. The widows were being neglected. And so the leaders of the church, who were apostles at that time, said, we are going to give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. We want you to choose among you seven men full of the Holy Ghost of honest report that can take care of these widows, but we, as the apostles, we're going to give ourselves to the ministry of word and prayer. So the church follows in line with this direction, and we find that in verse 5 that they choose some men, and then we come to verse number 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What I'm underscoring for you as we go through these passages, prayed and go. They prayed for these deacons, if you would, these servants. And then the Bible says the word of God increases, disciples multiply in Jerusalem in great numbers. Great things are happening. Praying and going. One more passage in the book of Acts, and then I'll take you to another one elsewhere. Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, now we come to verse number 1. Excuse me. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, which had brought up with Herod the tetrarch, and Saul. as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So the Holy Ghost gives direction. He says, I want you to take these two men, Saul and Barnabas, who later Saul later became Paul, separate them unto the work of God that I have called them to do. Now look at verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. There was fasting, there was praying, and then they sent these two men out to do the work of God, praying and going. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to notice in this passage of scripture in Ephesians 6, starting at verse number 10, he deals with putting on the whole armor of God because we as Christians are in a battle. Once we got saved, we entered into a lot of blessings, but we also entered into spiritual warfare. We don't fight against each other. We fight against Satan and his demons, and we find that we are in spiritual warfare. So again, just like God, he equips us for victory. I have said this to you in the past. If we live in defeat, it is not God's fault, it's our own. Because God has set us up for victory as Christians. So he set us up for spiritual victory in this warfare that we have to face on a daily basis. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we come now to verse number 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now catch this next verse. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul then says, I want you to pray for me. And what I want you to pray for is that I will have boldness to preach the gospel when God opens the door of opportunity. Pray for me that I will preach the word of God with holy boldness. Sometimes you may wonder, Pastor, what can I pray and how can I pray for you? May I say basically the same type of prayer request that Paul mentions here, that when I stand to preach, I would be able to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote another text of scripture that he did not want his preaching just to be words. He wanted it to be in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So here he says, pray. And then he says, as I am going, I want to be able to preach the gospel and make it clearly known. So here we see the biblical link between praying and going. A praying church becomes a going church. So notice with me, secondly this morning, pray and go. The goal of pray and go is a new ministry that the Lord has laid on my heart. And if you are here as a first-time guest today, I'm so thankful that you're here. I trust that what I'm about to share will be helpful to you. But I have such a passion for our community. I have such a burden for our community. We're going to celebrate the 40th anniversary of this church in a couple of months. And in church, Lord willing, as the Lord tarries is coming, that if he'll allow us another 40 years, we'll keep on doing and being what we ought to be. And that is to be about the main thing of advancing the gospel of Christ in our community. So notice with me that the goal of this whole matter, of this new ministry that I'm sharing with you this morning, is called Pray and Go. The goal of it is to get our church and the community through the power of prayer. Now, over the 28 years that I have been here with you, I have had the privilege of knocking on every door in this community more than once. I have had opportunity, and some of you have come alongside me, and we've done that together, and we've knocked on the doors, and we have shared the gospel with people as they gave us opportunities, and we have left church brochures and so forth. But there's one aspect of this that, quite frankly, as your pastor, I really didn't catch, I really didn't think much about it until recently. That one of the overlooked things that we did not partner with the going was prayer. prayer and going. We don't do one to the exclusion of the other. We do both of them together. And it is our goal then to reach our community through the power of prayer. Now, I know statistics can get real cold real quick, but let me share with you just two. There are 7,200 people, best I can tell with the statistics that have been shared with me, 7,200 people in Gaines Township covering an 8-mile radius. 7,200 people who represent then roughly a little over 2,600 households. Now, I know just as in any community, you're going to have a turnover rate. You're going to have people that move in and move out. In my 28 years of being here as in this community, I have noticed a very clear distinction, and it hasn't really changed much. Grand Blanc South is where you have more people that are 50 years or older. Grand Blanc North, this is where you have more of the millennials. This is where you have the younger crowd that live more on Grand Blanc North, going that way. Now, when you think about this, though, whether you're in the north or the south, it matters not. In either area, there are people that need the Lord. And so as I think about this, then, I want to present to you this particular ministry and how it'll work. And I'm convinced that if we will follow through, that we will see God's blessings. It'll revitalize our church. It'll help us just keep moving forward. And how it works is that we will pray for people that live on every road in Gaines Township. We will have a map, and we will have it mapped out for us, and that we will pray. We will pray for people on Nichols Road. We will pray for all the people on Van Vliet Road. We will pray for the people on Grand Blanc Road, Cook Road, Ray Road. Every road will be covered with a blanket of prayer, with hearts of sincerity, though we do not know these people, though we do not know the names of these people. But we're going to pray for all the people that live on each and every one of these roads. Then as we are praying, then we will go and we will leave door hangers. Door hangers that will say the following: we have prayed for you. We love our community, so we are praying for our community. If you have something specific that we can pray for, please let us know by emailing us or texting us. That's all that we'll say on, and then our church address. But that's all it will say on that door hanger. So we will spend some time praying, because we want to go forth with prayer. We move men to God through prayer, not by gimmicks and so forth, but we move men through God through prayer. So we pray, and then we follow the Lord's command, go. And so we go, and we will also with this ministry have what I call a prayer response team. That as these prayer requests come in, that we will have a group of people within our church that pray specifically for these requests that have been mentioned. That will be the responsibility of those individuals. Pray, and they spend time praying for them. They, again, at that point, may or may not know these individuals, but praying for them. That's prayer response team. Because we want to pray before we go, we want to pray as we're going, and we want to pray after we have gone. God blesses prayer. God blesses going. God blesses us going out into the community. And so we'll have this prayer response team. Then we'll have the go team. The go team is teams of two people. One who will drive and one who will walk. One who, if you would, will get out of the car and deliver that door hanger and put it on the door and walk away. You don't knock at the door. You don't. You're not there to do that. You are just simply to leave the door hanger there on their door. Now, what they do with it at that point, I do not know. They may take it, throw it away. I get that. They may take it and kind of file it. I get that. They may take it, say, hey, that's me. I do have a prayer request. I'm going to write this church that says that they have been praying for us on this road. I'm going to write them and let them know I'm facing this in my life. I might be facing a health issue. I might be facing a financial situation. I might be facing a rough marriage. I do not know what it may be. But there will be some people, I believe with all of my heart, that will respond. Now, as you are going with teams of two, let's just say we go down here to Nichols Road. We start this way because it dead ends up here. And so we go down this way and we go to every home. Driver stays in the car. The other one gets out of the car, goes to the door, leaves the door hanger. Say, well, what if I see somebody out in the yard? By all means, talk to them. Say, that's where you lose me, Pastor. I'm not good at that. I'm not that good either, but I tell you what, that's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us. And all you got to do is say something like this, hi, we're from Calvary Baptist Church. We just want to leave this with you. And if they engage any more than that, then fine. But otherwise, you pray and you go. And we blanket our community with prayer. And my goal in this is to see four or more teams formed within our church so that you only have to go out once a month. Not that you're limited going out just once a month, but I'm trying to make it so that you, I know people are busy. We're all busy people. But someone said, you know, I could do that once a month. I can drive or I can get out of the car and go hang that door hanger on the door. And I'm really praying that God will give us four or more teams of people. And when I think about this in church, I think about how that one of the things that will be also involved in this during the month of March, on March 9th, 16th, and 23rd, all Sundays, that if you will sign up to be involved in this ministry, I'm not going to send you out green. I'm going to help you. And so we will spend those three Sundays praying. We will spend those three Sundays then also going over some more details that I don't want to weigh you down with here this morning. But seriously, it's not heavily involved as far as a lot of organization. But I want to, again, just take that time to have you come in and meet with me, and we'll just go over some training time and talk about these things and entertain some questions and so forth. And then beginning in April, which Easter this year is in April. So we'll begin in April. And my goal for this ministry, have a few of them, but one of those goals is this, is to accomplish this in 1 year's time. That we'll go and cover every home through prayer and leaving a door hanger and see what God will do. Now, when I think about this, church, then I think about how important it is to remember the goal of this. The goal is to get our church not to stay in the holy huddle here. This is comfortable, right? And I would not at all discourage you inviting people to be here. I want you to continue to do that. Invite people to be here. But there is this aspect for every Bible-believing church that we have to obey our Lord's command to go into all the world. We've got to go into our community. How shall they hear without a preacher? We must go. They must hear. And so we'll cover every home through the power of prayer. It is my burden to see God work in our community. Just last night, I spent time praying for all of our township officers. I prayed for our township fire chief and his wife. Not just because they're in positions of authority, but I'm burdened for them. They're an integral part of our community, but that said, I pray for them. I prayed for other people that live in this community who know not Christ. They need Jesus. We have knocked on the door several times in the village of Gaines. There's not that many people that live in the village. You can cover it in one day if you're just doing a simple blitz. But 400 plus people that live in the small village, they need Jesus. And through this community, there are people who need to see God work in their life. They may not know that. Some of them are facing troubled marriages. Some of them are facing marriages that will end soon if something really doesn't happen. Does that break your heart? It does mine. Because if we say that it is our goal to see Christ be the hub of every home in Gaines Township, then we must be serious about praying and going. We must pray for them. Because in this community are some very troubled families really going through it. From time to time, I will talk to a few of the police officers that are in our community, and I just ask them questions. Obviously, they got to be careful about details, and I don't really need to know all the details, but they'll share things with me that only indicate that there are homes, there are families that are hurting right here in Gaines Township. I want to see God work in saving souls and changing their life and bringing their marriage back together and their families back together if they're facing those kinds of hardships. And so, church, we must pray. We must go. Two examples, and then I'll close. There was a church that started this very ministry I'm sharing with you. It wasn't in a community much bigger than ours. And over time, prayer requests began to roll in. One of the common themes, which they did not expect, they did not know what to expect, was that the prayer requests were coming in from single moms. Several of them. And they would email the church and say, pray for this, pray for this, but they would indicate that they were single mothers. Now, mind you, the church wasn't soliciting that kind of information, but they freely gave that in their prayer request. I'm a single mom, and I really need wisdom on how to raise my kids and so forth. So as the church was compiling these prayer requests and truly prayed for these requests that came in, God led that church to start a ministry to single mothers in their community. Now, may I say something? That church would not have known that that was such a ministry if they had not prayed and gone. Across the street, I don't know what goes on in that home any more than they know what goes on in mine. But I believe down Nichols Road and Van Vliet Road, Seymour Road, there are people that are hurting. I'll never forget one time I stopped at a door and there was a woman all bandaged up. And she told me, my husband in his drunken state last night threw me through the glass door. Had the opportunity to lead her to Christ. But you see, I would have never known if I had not gone. Let me share with you one more. There was a church last summer that got involved in the Pray and Go ministry. And the testimony reads this way. I'll read it to you. It says, we had our third Pray and Go gathering of the summer last night. We were able to pray over 150 homes in an hour. While our teams were out, our missions pastor was able to have a conversation with a young man who has lived in the area all of his life but never heard the gospel until last night. The mission pastor said, hey, though you haven't responded to Christ tonight, come see me if you want to talk more about this and learn more about Jesus. And it goes on and says this, while the young man did not respond to the gospel last night, our missions pastor invited the young man to stop by the office today if he wanted to talk further about the gospel. He says, well, the young man just showed up. How awesome is that? You see, church, I do not know what the end result of all of this will be, but I believe with all of my heart that if we as a church we'll pray and cover our community with prayer. It's been a missing dimension. I'm not saying we haven't prayed, but prayed in this way. Praying before we go, praying as we go, praying after we go, but praying. And cover this community with prayer. I can't help but believe God will honor a church that prays and goes. The Lord did not send his disciples out all alone. He equipped them. And so thus today, you and I have the opportunity to pray and to go. This community needs Jesus. I don't know what needs fully that are out there. I do not know how people will respond to the door hangers. I don't know. But I believe God has led me to lead us together as a church to go into this new ministry together. Not heavily organized. There's not a lot of organization to it. Just pretty simple in its features. We pray, we go. And I can't help but believe, as God did in the book of Acts, that he will do in our day, that he will bless. He will change people's lives. He can heal a broken marriage. He can heal a hurting family, or whatever other needs are out there. But we will blanket this community and cover them in prayer. And while we're praying, we will go. This morning I had our ushers put within your hands this card. It is a connection card. And as I close this morning, I want you to notice some things about this card. One, please just write your name on this. I don't need, if you're a regular attender here, I don't need all the other information. But on the back it says, I am interested in being a part of the Pray and Go team. Check that. I will be a driver. I can do that. I can get behind the wheel. I can drive someone else and have them deliver that door hanger. I can do that. I will be a walker, meaning I'll be the one that sits in the passenger side and get out from door to door and leave the information on the door. You may want to be either one of those. That's fine. And then the last place, I will be a prayer warrior. That is part of that prayer response team, that when the prayer requests begin to come in, you say, I will be part of that team. I will pray for those requests. Because folks, I don't want us just to go through an exercise and not mean what we say. I want us to go. I want us to pray. And I want us to continue to pray for them. Regardless, church, listen carefully. Regardless whether they darken the doors of Calvary Baptist Church or not. This, if you would, is not set up for us to try to deceive people and so forth. No. If they come to our church, great. If they don't. That may be one of the end results, but may I say, we really want to pray for them. And so that when we get involved in the community events around here, and they see one of our booths set up at one of their events, hey, that church left a door hanger. And that's the church that said, they're praying for me. Because people don't care how much we know till they know how much we care. Right? They won't care how much we know till they know how much we care. And I think one of the best ways we can show care in our community is by praying for them. So would you fill this out? And I'm going to ask Jacob to go to the back by the usher's table and hold in his hand an usher's plate. And as you leave this morning, drop this card in. Or if you want to go home and just pray about, hey, what's a way I can be involved in this? Then that's fine. Bring it back with you next week and give it to us. But we want to begin in the month of March, the training process, and then in April, set our feet to the ground and pray and go, and let's really watch what God will do. Church, last week, we saw from the life of Paul, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. If you would, I would say, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Gaines Township is that they might be saved. God's given us a great task, but he wants us to go, so let's do it. Amen. Father, now this morning, from your word we see over and over, even outside the book of Acts, people praying and going. We all know that we can pray, but where we get the shaky knees and when we get tongue-tied is when we try to go talk to people. Now I realize, Father, you have wired us differently, but truth of the matter is every believer here, whether they're outgoing or not, we've been given the charge to go and tell people at work, in our neighborhood. And the focus of our church this month has been on prayer, as you know, Father, and we want you to teach us to continue to pray. But this has been a missing aspect in the life of our church. We have gone, we continue to go, but we've lightly given time to prayer. And I trust that you'll forgive us for that. Help us to really be more in tune to praying. But then as we pray, we want to be obedient to the other half, and that is go. This community needs Christ. There's a lot of hurting people in this community. Some hurting privately. Some who just don't know if they can face another day. Some, on the other hand, don't really entertain you in their thoughts. It's not important to them. Church is not even on their radar. But Father, still, they are a soul for whom Christ died. And there will come a time when they will see that they have a need in their life, something outside that they cannot meet. And Lord willing, we as a church would be used of you in some way to be there for them at such a time. Now we want to be obedient, Father. I want to be obedient. I want to pray and I want to go. And Father, I pray that the people this morning will respond. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have before us. I'm looking forward to how you are going to bless this new opportunity, this new ministry, Pray and Go. That it really become a strong fiber of our being here as a church. It may not seem very glamorous, but yet it nonetheless is very important for us to do it. And so, Father, as we move forward, help us to be obedient. Help people to say, yes, I'll be part of the team. I'll be part of the go team. I'll be part of the prayer response team. I'll be a driver, or I'll be one or the other. But Father, help us to band together and work through us to touch this community with the gospel. In Jesus' name, other heads bowed. Not going to give an invitation per se this morning, but I would like to ask, is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus. I don't know if he's my Savior. I don't know if I died to go to heaven. But this morning, I'm concerned about that. This is a need in my life. And I would that you remember me in prayer this morning. With our heads bowed, I'm the only one looking. Would you just lift your hand up where you're at? Say, yes, Pastor, that's my need. I'm not sure if I died to go to heaven, but I sure want to know. I really do. I want to know. I want to know if I died to go to heaven. I don't know it for sure. I want to nail it down. Anybody at all while we wait? Anybody at all? Now, church family, this morning, and you in your life, you have heard last Sunday and today the importance of praying for those that need Jesus. We can do more than pray, but we can't do more than pray until we have prayed. And I wonder this morning if there are those here that say, Pastor, in my life, I just have not been faithfully praying. as I should for the lost souls of people. God has touched my heart about that this morning, either from last week's message or even from this morning. Say, Pastor, I need to be more fervent in praying for the souls of people. That's my need. If that be you this morning, would you lift your hand up right where you're at? Yes, God bless you. Somebody else. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else. I really need to be. Yes, God bless you. I really need to be more faithful in praying for lost people. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody? Yes, God bless you. I need to be more faithful in praying for lost people. Anybody else while we wait? Just lift your hand up. Put it right back down while we wait. Anybody else? Now, Father, you have seen the hands of these dear people. You know their hearts. And how I would pray that you would strengthen them in this area of praying for the lost. We can find it easy to pray for people that are like us, Christians. But Father, help us to really be more consistent and fervent. As Paul was so burdened, was he that he was moved with tears to pray for those that did not know Jesus. So help these in particular to raise their hands this morning, that you would help them this very week to experience victory in this area and be more consistent in praying for lost people. Give victory, I pray. In Jesus' name.